So for me, connection's huge. Yeah. Growth is huge. Fulfillment is huge. These are massive values of mine. Those are the things you talk about. Those are the things you put in your mission statement. Those are the things you put in your content. Those are the things you can put in your conversations and messages. I've been growing. I see you've been growing as well. Would love to go grab coffee and support each other. So you don't know what to talk about. You don't know what stories to tell. You don't know what content to use. Just tell stories around those values. And if you really want to turbocharge and have extra credit, have a third party teach you that value in your story.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. In this episode, we get to speak with Ben Albert. When COVID hit, Ben was furloughed from work. He found himself down and out, staring at an empty handle of Jim Beam whiskey. He was unemployed, depressed, and felt unworthy. Hesitantly, he opened his MacBook and started reaching out to strangers on LinkedIn. This spearheaded his entrepreneurial journey. The rest is history. Now Ben hosts a network of 5 podcasts called Real Business Connections, runs a massively successful marketing firm, Balbert Marketing, and has replaced his established sales income in just over a year. Ben found his way. You can do all this too. It lights Ben up to help people, just like you, find your way. Ben loves to help business people find the essence of who they are and empower them and their companies to make their mark in this world. None of us deserve to feel small, unworthy, or invisible. This is why Ben chose a career in marketing. Ben has found in marketing. He has a unique opportunity to empower business people to reach the right community, the right clients, and the right partners who share the same beliefs and values as you, so you can scale above your highest potential, in turn, filling up your pockets and your soul. Once an underdog, now a successful entrepreneur, Ben is passionate about helping other underdogs achieve their dreams. Ben is on a mission to actually move the needle on 1 million lives, one conversation at a time. Let's dive in. Ben, thanks so much for coming on to the podcast.
Yeah, Junaid, Hacks and Hobbies. I love your show. I'm excited to be here, man. Pleasure.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate that. The podcast has been an amazing journey. It's led me to so many different places, so many different conversations, and I'm glad to have another one with you here on the podcast. There's so many things that we get to do in our lifetime, and that turns our world inside out, sometimes takes us to the right direction. I was having a conversation in my mastermind group earlier, and my friend was like, hey, I want to set a reminder that this is what success looks like. And you might go down, you just have to be consistent. And we think like success is a straight line, but it's a lot of squiggliness in the middle. You're going to have ups and downs and like all around. Yeah. And I'm so glad that we get to have these conversations on this podcast. And I know you're once an underdog, now a successful entrepreneur. And you've been helping other underdogs achieve their dreams. Now, before you did all of that,
yeah,
how did you get to this point?
Yeah. And can I grab something and show it to you? It'll take me about Please. 2 seconds. I can talk while we do it. But I didn't know this when I started. I have on my keychain here, there is no key. Now it's tongue in cheek because it's a keychain. Yeah. It says there is no key. We talk about success being a straight line. It's not. Mm-hmm. And there is no key to success. There is no key to a successful podcast, resilience, happiness, fulfillment.
Yeah.
Similar to a padlock at the gym, it's a combination lock. And each and every one of us all have our own unique combination. So I never imagined I'd be a podcaster or a marketer. Never imagined I'd be in sales and promotion and a creative. Yeah. When I was younger, I was just a dude trying to figure stuff out. I wanted to be a basketball player. That shifted into wanting to be a musician. And I didn't even realize it was marketing. But the first time I got to market for a living was just handing out flyers, selling merchandise, and supporting local bands. So it's fascinating how our life unravels over time. It's not a straight line. Similar to a fingerprint, we all have a unique fingerprint. We all have a unique combination. Yeah. So the journey has led us here today, and that's blessed in itself. And I just wanted to shout that out. There is no real key, and fulfillment, success, it's personalized, man.
It is.
Everybody's got a different journey.
And not just that, we all have a different lens that we look at success from too. For somebody, it might be 1 million downloads on their podcast. For somebody, it might be $1 million in the bank. For some people, it might be an empty calendar, right? That is success because, hey, I don't have to worry about jumping on this call or being here for somebody. I just get to relax and do nothing. And sometimes you have to create those for yourself. Right?
Yeah.
Creating an empty calendar or creating a bank balance that's that large or building a marketing strategy that gets you $1,000. Like all of these things are doable, right? So again, like you said, it's a fingerprint. It's a combination. It's something that we decide that, hey, this is what success looks like to me. And it might change 5 years from now. Just like we grow continuously. And the best example that I can share with is my one-year-old. When he was born 1.5 years ago, success for him would be like, all right, to sleep at night without crying or go through a day without blah, blah, blah. And then over time, his success changes because, oh my God, he learned how to crawl, like he learned how to walk, and now he can run. And sometimes he wants to jump, but all he's doing is just bouncing on his knees, right? He doesn't know how to jump yet.
Yeah.
And that's success for him. And then you can see his eyes light up when he's done something. So again, I love what you said. There's no key to success. You make your own.
And I love what you said. I feel like if you're not being hypocritical, you're not growing because as we evolve and adapt, we come from a new paradigm. We have new vision. The person who wants $1 million becomes the person who wants the empty calendar once they get to 1 million. Because I know personally, I'd rather make 1 million a year with nothing on my calendar than 1.5 million and have to work 80-hour weeks. So again, that's personal to me, but we change as our paradigm changes as well.
So true. So as you're helping other entrepreneurs figure out, achieve their dreams, you went through a whole bunch of different journeys and you figure out, okay, this is what I want to do. Now you host 5 different podcasts. What's the one thing that was the pivotal moment in your life that said, hey, this is what I want to be doing and this is where I want to be?
Yeah, wow. I wish I had one big, beautiful story. It's really simply put, I was a music advocate. We already talked about it. Booking bands, MySpace pages back in the day. Then I grandfathered into Facebook pages. Then I learned how to code websites and the whole shabam. There was not a music podcast in Rochester, New York. I was a big local music advocate in Rochester, New York. And being in the music scene actually led me down a poor path. Lots of late nights, some drug abuse, lots of alcohol abuse. And I remember just staring myself in the mirror one day with bloodshot eyes and asking myself the question, am I just a consumer? Am I just a consumer? And what's easy for me to say that right now is probably just asking myself the question, like, why the hell do you look so crappy? I wasn't that eloquent, but I started to realize there's a difference between consumers and producers. And in the entertainment industry, there is no entertainment industry without consumers. But if I'm going to go out 4 days a week, how can I add as much value as possible while I do it? Mm-hmm. And I started a Rochester music podcast in 2016. And nowadays, someone else actually took over that podcast from me. Now I host a business podcast as I've changed, but really just making that decision to start documenting my journey instead of just drinking and calling it a day, taking notes. And then podcasting on it set me on a stage into a career of marketing.
Yeah. No, that's really powerful. And what you say, it's not a big, beautiful story, but it is, right? When you look at it from the lens of somebody much further along and you can see back what happened And what enabled you to say, okay, I'm looking in the mirror, I'm doing this every day, I'm not gaining a whole lot. What can I do? How can I give back to the community? I'm consuming all this music. How can I use what I learned here as a consumer to then become a producer, to then become the creator, to then become the storyteller of the story behind the song? And talking about story behind the songs, one of the oldest stories, the artist finally revealed after 30 years. I don't know if you know the song, but I'm sure you know the song, but I don't know if you know the story, but the song is called Closing Time. And the story was he wrote the song for his son who was to be born.
Oh.
And when the song goes, closing time, close all, no, closing time. This room won't be open till your brother or your sister come. Not just anybody, brother, your sister. So it's the womb of his mom.
Oh my God.
Closing time, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Yeah. You gotta leave the womb.
Okay.
So the band members had no idea of the meaning behind the song. And 30 years later, he tells them, he's like, oh my God, what? And of course, him and his wife knew the reason, right? The story behind the song. And I was like, wow, that's powerful. So now when I tell people and they haven't heard of this story before, I'm like, oh my God, they make so much sense. That's so cool.
I'm going to have to listen back to it. They used to play that song just by coincidence at, as I was closing at Topps Grocery, one of my first jobs.
Yeah.
That song would come on, I swear, like clockwork while I was sweeping up the floors.
And
I just assumed
time.
It was, yeah, I just assumed it was about me or something. I didn't realize there was more to it.
This is so powerful. What we can do when we create content, when we become the producers, and when we absorb and we put all this thing together, and your podcast that you launched in 2016 is a clear example of what you're able to do when you take that action, when you say, hey, I got this crazy idea. What if there was a podcast where we talked about the music scene in Rochester, New York? Because I'm sure there's other people and other people at the band's place, and you can then promote the podcast. Hey, check out the podcast. You can hear all the cool places that I've been going to and whatnot. And I haven't even listened to the podcast, but I can just imagine what it would talk about.
You know what the best part was? And this is something everybody needs to hear. Mm. The best part was I got into places for free. I wanted a seat at the table. I wanted a backdoor access to the room. I wanted an opportunity to meet these people. I wasn't making much money doing it.
Yeah.
But since I was passionate about it, I was able to develop skill sets and get into places for free. So it doesn't have to be a music podcast, but what is your music podcast? What is something unique you can create that even if you don't make money on it, it'll give you access to people that you want to meet anyways?
Yeah. There's so much truth into that. When you're creating something out of passion, out of something that you like totally love, there's a different part of your brain that's activated. For example, in the episode I was recording the other day, and she mentioned that this one guy, his company was doing great, and then they got bought out. They got acquired. And immediately, the drive of him to run the company became an obligation.
Okay.
Because now he's paid for what he's created.
Yeah.
And now he has to do all the things that he was doing out of passion as an obligation because he's paid for it. It's crazy, right? And I was like, no wonder why when companies get bought out, you'll hear 3 months later, the founder of the company left because they don't find that drive anymore. So she helps people reignite the drive once you've been acquired or once you've been in a situation. And I'm like, that is pretty crazy because we love to do things out of passion, even if you don't get paid. But it sometimes might change the mindset if somebody's bought you. Like, wait, what? How does that even make sense?
I'd be willing to bet someone buys you and then they start implementing new processes and systems. And it could be a humbling experience to no longer have creative control no longer be painting the brush on your own. That would irritate the crap out of me. That's part of why we're entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Because we're creative types and we want to go and do something different. You want to create something that didn't exist before us. And then once you hand it to somebody else, it's kind of, oh yeah, that sounds sobering. I haven't had to do that, but it sounds sobering.
Yeah, it is. So let's talk about the passion for podcasting. Why do you podcast, and how has it improved or impacted your life and pursuits?
Oh, dude, we could do just 10 hours on this. The simplest way I can explain it is my goal as a podcaster is to serve as a bridge. I want to get the wisdom, the insights, the opportunities, the connections from the people who have it to the people who need it. Yeah. And the beauty in that process is serving as a bridge is I am in the need it category 9 times out of 10. So I am just learning. Podcasting is the greatest way for right now. I'm a guest on your show. Mm-hmm. Not my first guest appearance.
Sure.
Not my best, not my worst. Every day when I'm not every day, but every opportunity I have to be on a podcast, I get asked different questions that I maybe haven't been asked before.
Yeah.
I get more comfortable speaking on camera. I get more comfortable answering why I do what I do and the whole shabam. Every day that I host a podcast, I get to learn 50 things that I didn't know. I get to be a student. I get to be curious. I get to learn from someone every single day. And in my process of, as a guest, just getting better at what I do, and as a host, learning, all you and I have to do is document the process.
Exactly.
And that gets the wisdom from those who have it to those who need it. And often the person who needs it is you 6 weeks ago, you 6 months ago, absolutely, you a year ago.
Yeah.
So we talked a lot about creativity and just starting something that didn't exist. That's really what it is.
It is.
Podcasting is me documenting the learning journey that I would have been on without the podcast. And it provides a platform that I can connect with genius people that wouldn't give me their time if I just asked them to pick their brain.
Amen.
And using that platform, I get to create a personal brand that actually provides income to my business. It's like a freaking, what's it called? It's like a Swiss Army knife of opportunity.
Yeah. So,
it really
so
is.
True.
I'm preaching to the choir though, my friend.
No, a lot of people need to hear this because I've been to 2 different events in just the past 3 weeks. And at one of the events, it's mostly religiously focused. So there's a lot of speakers talking on religion. And there was a total of 40,000 people at this event.
Wow.
There's a massive, all Muslim backgrounds. Also some non-Muslims because they want to see, hey, what's happening. But then there was hundreds of exhibitors there that do not have a podcast presence, that do not create content like we do, that do not market because that is the one place that they show up to sell their goods. Sure, they might be marketing on social media and whatnot, but again, they don't have a unique or they don't have a authentic content being created, which is their voice individually. So that's something that I want to bring forth to these people. I'm like, dude, you need to have a podcast. This is 2024. We got to create content. We got to let people hear you.
And I'm on a soapbox, but it doesn't have to be a podcast. It can be a live event. Mm-hmm. It can be a blog. It can be a YouTube series. You can do research papers. You can be a graphic designer and extract quotes and turn those into graphics. You can be a photography or videographer and just document different events and opportunities. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a podcast, but it needs to be something unless you're okay with the commonplace, which there's no issue with it. But if you feel like you want to do something and you're not doing it, that's a sign in itself.
Yeah. When you feel like you should be doing it, then you should be doing it.
It's that simple. And why not? What's the worst that could happen? You go back to where you were.
Exactly. The difference between what we do is we had the idea.
Yeah.
And we took the leap of faith. You know what? Let me just go and do it. And I was having a conversation with a friend, with one of the guests earlier, and I told her how I launched this A to Z book. which was just an idea that came to me at 4 a.m. in the morning while I'm putting my baby to sleep.
Yeah.
Right. And I jumped on it and I said, you know what? There has to be a book around this concept that's in my mind. Now, most people are like, oh, that's a cool idea, but then they're lacking execution and they're lacking the emotion around it. But I went and ran with it because in my life, I've come far enough, because if it was 8 years ago, I probably wouldn't have taken the action.
Huh.
But it's because of the growth that I've done personally, I think it's what enabled me to also say, let's go and do it. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I think I don't actually agree with this statement I'm about to make, but I tell myself it anyways, that I'm the luckiest man on earth. And even me acknowledging that might not be true, like just understanding that you're the luckiest person on earth, that you're called to do things daily, that you were put on this earth for a reason, you start to put on a different lens where you start to see opportunities that you didn't see before. And the opportunity was already there. The only thing that changed was your own self, your own paradigm. Mm-hmm. So you saw this opportunity and you took that calling and you spoke. It's really that simple.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably because you had a high opinion of your ability to do it, your own self-worth and your capacity to do it. So you didn't have the limiting belief that you didn't actually like get stuck in the noise of what did. You just did it. And that's why Nike is such a popular brand. Just do it. Is it really that simple? It's that simple.
It's that simple. That's so true. You just got to get up and do it. Sweet, man. All right. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, you can share 3 hacks that our audience can take with them and apply in their life. Just do it, right? What can I do now to get ahead of what I might be lacking? And you've done this plenty of time with other entrepreneurs, with your podcast and everything. So can't wait to hear your 3 hacks. So right after the break, we'll be right back. Looking for the ultimate live streaming and video production studio? Discover Ecamm Live, exclusively built for Mac. It's the leading solution for podcasting, webinars, live streaming, and more. Elevate your content creation game and bring your ideas to life with Ecamm Live. Head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/Ecamm and download your studio today. Start creating with Ecamm Live and elevate your audience engagement. Download now from hacksandhobbies.com/Ecamm or tap on the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies. We have been talking with Ben Albert here on the podcast. And like Ben mentioned, we are in this existential space of talking about what's possible and what's not possible. I love this space because we all need to have that mindset that anything is possible. And the reason I do the 100 different things that I do and why this podcast is called Hacks and Hobbies is because I want to show my kids, the 4 kids that I have, that anything is possible. So I bring on guests from all walks of life and capture those moments and stories that, look, somebody's making this a living and making their life based on what they love to do. So Ben, you've got a few hacks for us. Let's jump right in.
I have a ton of hacks. I'll try to be brief. First one is a simple exercise I actually learned from Jordan Harbinger, great podcaster. You pick up your phone, you go to your most popular messaging app. Text messages, email if it's a professional contacts, LinkedIn, Instagram, you choose. You scroll to the bottom. As you scroll, you're going to start to see missed connections. You're going to start to see good friends that you haven't spoken to in a while. Just once a day, one message a day, the rest of your life, you just send a message. You go, wow, it's been, I know you and I met each other at this conference. It's been 6 months and I never reached back out. How is X doing? Wow, I didn't know that you were pregnant. Oh my God, congratulations. Yeah. You just look at their profile. You look at what's new. You send a message. You sent one message a day, 365 days a year, the rest of your life. What kind of relationships and partnerships will you build? And more equals more. So I tell people one a day, But if you're prospecting for business, do 50 a day. Send 50 messages a day. So really simple hack, because it's free and it's right on your phone. Reach out to people you haven't spoken to in forever and do that clockwork the rest of your life. Do you want me to go on?
No, that's a really powerful one. And in fact, that's something Alex Hormozi talks about in his book, right?
He does. He stole that because I've heard
he stole it from you, right?
He stole it from me. He just put it in the book first. That's it.
Right? And what's cool is that people talk about, I don't have leads. And he's just, look at your phone. How many contacts do you have? Those are leads. Those are warm leads. I'm like, wow, that's just changed the perspective of what you call a lead, right? Just have those conversations. I love that hack so much. And it's been something on my radar that I have not been doing actively. So
it's one a day.
I'll be the first person to start jumping in, going to the end. Oh my God, I haven't talked to you in so long. Let's jump on the conversation.
Dude, it takes 45 seconds if you're just doing one a day.
Yeah.
And one a day is 365 people.
That's amazing.
It's pretty amazing. And then people ask, what do I talk about? I can't find my story. What things like that. I want to simplify this. I do a whole long exercise around this. But all you have to do is Google search list of values. Brené Brown has a great list. So list of values, Brené Brown. And I go through a whole process in workshops. Let's simplify it. Keep crossing out until you come up with three. So for me, connection's huge. Yeah. Growth is huge. Fulfillment is huge. These are massive values of mine. Those are the things you talk about. Those are the things you put in your mission statement. Those are the things you put in your content. Those are the things you can put in your conversations and messages. I've been growing. I see you've been growing as well. Would love to go grab coffee and support each other. So you don't know what to talk about. You don't know what stories to tell. You don't know what content to use. Just tell stories around those values. And if you really want to turbocharge and have extra credit, have a third party teach you that value in your story. So it could be a teaching from they taught you the way, or it could be a place of lack. I felt disconnected when I was a kid because my father was an alcoholic. And I didn't realize what that disconnection did to me until I was disconnected and having trouble with relationships when I was older. So now I have a chip on my shoulder that connection is actually a priority and value of mine because it comes from a place of lack. So if you understand what you value and where it came from, you have stories and conversations for days. And if you're reaching out to people all the time, you'll have something to talk about. Just be value-centric. And the third thing, my third hack, I'm sure you've mentioned ChatGPT on this show and plenty of people have. Really simple hack for ChatGPT. If you're podcasting, if you're having conversations, or even if you've never been on an audio anything ever video before, click record, have a conversation about who you are, what you do, why you do it, what you value, the stories around it. Have that conversation transcribed. You can do it manually. You can go to Fiverr and have someone do it, or you can use a tool like Descript. Just have it transcribed. And then when you're prompting ChatGPT, you can just copy paste your own transcription of your words, your style, and tell it, this is me speaking. Please talk in my voice, use my analogies, use my word paddles. I talk at a fourth grade level, so talk at a low level. And then if you're creating any kind of content or anything, whatever you're using ChatGPT for, you've just inputted data that's 100% you. So if you put all those three together, you're reaching out to people all the time. You're creating content and conversations around your values. And if you don't know what to say, just let ChatGPT say it for you, but let it speak in your words, your thought patterns. So I didn't even know that they would all connect, but I tried my best to connect them.
No, man, that's really powerful. And thanks for the list of values by Brené Brown. That's going to be really powerful as well, because I'm always wondering, okay, what should I be talking about? What should I be talking about? There's so much that I know that I think other people know, but they don't know. Because when you're in that boat of, okay, I know all of this, so maybe everybody else knows all this as well. But that's not the truth, because you keep seeing people talk about the things that you know. Why are they doing that? Because they know people don't know what you know. That's a lot of no's.
Yeah. Word salad. I love it.
Oh my God, this was fun. This has been really fun, Ben. All right, thanks, so man. Let's do this something. Let's jump into our six questions that I like to ask my guests.
All right, I'll be brief. I don't
have a name for this thing, but
rapid fire questions.
Rapid fire questions. All right, that's what I've been calling them, but I think that does make a lot of sense. All right, let's go in. Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
It's funny, I talked about music. I played guitar very young, but I never actually learned how to play proficiently. I feel like I just bought a guitar to take pictures and look cool for girls. So I really wish that I was more proficient at guitar, actually really study the craft.
I love it, man. That's really powerful. There was a movie on Apple Plus recently where Gordon Joseph Levitt, right, he was the one that he was a guitar instructor in this movie, and he was basically teaching this lady in Ireland learning how to play the guitar, and which is really funny how the whole movie came about. But it was a fun experience, like just to watch them grow and watch them do this activity, because we all go through lives. And we all go through our days, and sometimes the new thing is what keeps us motivated. And learning a new hobby, I think, is a really cool way to keep that creativity engaged in your mind.
You can just get started. We talked about that. Just get started with it.
All right, next up, what did you want to be when you were a child?
Oh, I touched on both of them. I wanted to be a basketball player. Mm. I had a jersey for every single day of the week.
Wow.
And as I got older and I got picked on because I lived to be 5'8" and I just was never going to make the NBA, I found my weird new tribe in music industry with creative types. So when I was very young, I wanted to be the next Michael Jordan. Mm. Then as I got older, I wanted to be the next rock star. I'm neither of those now, but I'm really happy as to where life took me.
Nice, man. I love that. I love that so much. Next up, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
I have so many of them. Mm. I think The Office is great. The Office is a great show. Back in the day, I used to love Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld. Forrest Gump is good. Mm. I know you asked for favorite and I named four, but those are all great ones.
I loved Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I binge watched, I think, the entire season a couple of times over a decade and a half. And the last time that I watched it, I was like, they deserve what happened. Right? Because at the end, they're like in this jail and they're like just talking to each other, not caring for what's happening. But I tried to watch Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And I couldn't.
Why?
I watched one episode. I was like, okay, this is funny, but it's too much George. I need Kramer. I need the other characters. And the show, I think it's too much Jordan. It's just too much of the negative annoyance. And it just annoyed the hell out of me. I was like, I can't handle it.
It's a lot of it. There's a funny episode where Larry David, creator of Seinfeld and creator of Curb Your Enthusiasm, he's the lead star in Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's talking to George, and George is upset that he can't go out in public without being like catcalled as George, and everyone sees him as this bozo, and he can't get other acting roles. Yeah. He does all these stupid things. And Larry David's arguing with him. He's, that's not stupid. I did that. I did that too. I did that too. And I really think Curb Your Enthusiasm is like Larry David's life.
Yes.
And Larry David is a George. I don't know. He's a George.
He is a George. He's bald, and he's always like thinking of ways to get out of things. And that's George. It's literally based on his own story. All right, next up, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Movie I would choose if I got to play a character And shoot, I never thought I'd go this way, but I'd love to be in the classic Space Jam and be Michael Jordan. So we
there
can
we
do
go.
What I said. I can be a basketball player like we talked about, Michael Jordan in Space Jam, or I could be LeBron in Space Jam. I haven't seen that one yet, but I'd take either of them.
No, they've done a pretty cool job with the remake of the Space Jam 2 movie too. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I do want to go back and watch both of them. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
It wasn't as entertaining the second time I watched it when I was older, but I loved it when I was a kid. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So the next one is, who is your favorite superhero?
So I know you've asked this question before. I have a funny answer for you.
All right. Let's hear it.
I want to say Wonder Woman. Mm. And the reason I say Wonder Woman is the word wonder, because if I were to have a superpower, I'd want it to be wonder and curiosity.
Wow.
So it's not answering the question, but I love the concept of wonder, curiosity, and then learning things and getting better. So I could say Iron Man, because he's a great example of someone who's inventing technology to turn him into a superhero, even though he's not that super.
Right.
So if you have that curiosity, that wonder, and that let's do it attitude, you don't even have to be a superhero.
Yeah.
You can turn yourself into one.
Funny thing when you mentioned the word wonder and curiosity, because there is a show that is called What If? And he literally just watches. He calls himself the Watcher, and he's watching all the different timelines and the different universes and the storyline's happening. And I love what they've done with the stories that they shared in season one and season two, because what if this happened? What if this? They basically has this entire new timeline that's interconnected. And I think they've done a pretty awesome job of wondering what if this happened. So anytime I'm thinking of what if, it reminded me of the TV show and what it is to wonder.
I'll watch that. I've asked it, and I've been asked if you could give advice to your previous self. And the first thing that comes to mind is, do I want to break the paradigm? And what if I gave myself advice and I took it? Would humanity change? Would I be who I was? Like, I like my scars. So what if is such a powerful question. Like,
it is.
The smallest decisions or the smallest pivots can mean heroism, but it also could mean travesty in some scenarios. Dang,
dude. It is pretty crazy.
What if?
Yeah, there's two seasons out on Disney Plus that you can go check out. I'm also going to actually link Brené Brown's lead to
list of values.
List of values, yeah.
Yeah.
There's
any list will do, but that one's thorough.
Powerful one. All right, man, last question. If you were a board game, what would it be?
Oh, if I were a board game, what would it be? You might have just stumped me. I have board games coming to mind.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would be any of them. I like Scrabble.
You're a man of words.
You know what? It's coming together. I do like Scrabble because even though the English language is just one language and Scrabble, it's probably in multiple languages, come to mention it.
Yeah.
The ability to communicate is such a gift in itself. And the ability to communicate effectively is how you win in life. And the way you win in Scrabble is by communicating words. So let's go with that.
I love it. Dude, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for bringing your wisdom, bringing your hacks, and bringing your story to the forefront on the episode. I thoroughly enjoyed everything and the time that I get to spend with you. And if God willing, we were to meet at an event happening close by, that would be really fun.
I think we are going to meet it. So by the time this comes out, we're going to be best friends or something. So
that's right.
I'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll see you soon. All right, man. Thank you so much again. And till the next episode, we'll catch you soon.
Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.